Wisden 2004. Notes by the editor, Matthew Engel. Let's start by celebrating. In many respects, 2003 was a brilliant year for cricket. It began with a World Cup won by the team that was not merely the best, but quite conceivably the best there has ever been. It went on to produce a couple of test series, England v South Africa and Australia v India, that in their different ways might stand comparison with any in history. Some of cricket's most resonant records were smashed. There was the first official 100-mile-an-hour ball, bowled by Shoaib Akhtar in Cape Town. Then the West Indies, cricket's fallen giants, rose from the canvas to pull off Test cricket's biggest ever successful run chase and beat mighty Australia. In Perth, Matthew Hayden took perhaps the game's most magical number, the highest individual Test score, to a new peak of 380. Even the poor sad whipping boys from Bangladesh took part in a fantastic Test match when they came within one wicket of beating Pakistan in remote Multan. Australia scored their Test runs in 2003 at a phenomenal rate of 4.08 per over. Everywhere the pace of batting and the dominance of bat over ball seemed rather like global warming, terrifying when you contemplate what it means for the fragile ecology of cricket, with bowlers potentially being driven to the edge of extinction, but thoroughly pleasant when contemplated from a deck chair on a summer's afternoon. In England, the sun really did blaze down, and the much-derided England and Wales Cricket Board produced a new tournament, the 2020 Cup, that struck the motherlode of public affection for cricket that runs just below the surface crust of apparent indifference. Arguably, the game has been better run for the past few years than at any other time in history. The ECB has been thinking hard, and I believe creatively, about the problems it faces. At the international level, match-fixing has almost certainly not been eradicated from the game, any more than chucking and dissent have, but at least corruption is handled with a sense of urgency and vigour, unthinkable less than a decade ago, when the crisis first emerged and the ICC pretended it was not their problem. And with what was either astonishing acuity or luck, the ICC managed to secure a TV deal for the 2003 and 2007 World Cups at the very top of the TV rights market, which was a remarkable piece of business.